Thank you, Chris. Thank you for asking me to be here. It's been a long time since I have stood before a crowd like this. I was a longtime member of Bellevue, and I was involved in evangelism in the 90s. But before I start in on my testimony, I want you to be thinking about this one word during this whole time. The word is love. So I'm going to start and tell you about my imperfect life and what God did before I became a Christian and what He's done after. My earliest recollection was the age of 4. And I was born and raised in Frazier, right here in Memphis. And my father worked 12, 14 hours a day in his own business. My mother was called a stay-at-home mom at that time, even though she wasn't there very much. But at 4 years old, I'll fast forward this as briefly as I can, I stopped walking. And I spent quite a few months in severe pain. They couldn't figure out what was wrong. I could crawl. The doctors began not to believe me, but eventually it was diagnosed as a rare form of meningitis. It was a different virus in the spine, as they called it. It was months that I can remember before I could begin to start walking again. But what that left me was very bad stuttering. I could not hardly talk. It left me very insecure. Nobody really explained what really happened or why. I had questions why I was like that. Moving forward from there, up to about the age of 8, 9 years old, at the time of 6 and 7, I was starting to be left alone for a period of time during the day. Like I said, my daddy wouldn't get home till 8, 9 o'clock at night. But as time went on, at that early age, I didn't know what loneliness was, but I was feeling it. I was feeling all alone. Did not feel loved. I couldn't explain it. I didn't know at that age what the word love meant, but I knew something was wrong. Something was missing. My mother and father didn't go to church, but my grandparents did. Little church in Raleigh. I went with them every Sunday, every other Sunday. I can't remember exactly, but they were faithful in going. But I was still feeling alone, and I was hurting. So fast forward a little bit more to about 10, 11 years old. I was feeling what I did not know then, but I was feeling under conviction by the Holy Spirit. And at that age, I remember in the 5th grade, I started at my grandparents' church. I would go forward and kneel at the altar. And this would go on for 45 minutes, sometimes longer, shorter. I was asking God to forgive me, but I was not hearing. There was nobody to help me, nobody to tell me what was going on. It was just, that's what I was supposed to do. And my grandmother told me one day, she said, keep praying, it'll eventually come. And I didn't know what she meant, and she couldn't explain it. But anyway, at that age, I was also going to school with 2 brothers that their parents were very involved in another church. Their father was the music minister, and the mother was involved. And when I went with them somewhere, the mother would always pray before they left the driveway, and they would pray when she got back. And I noticed a difference in her and the father, and also my 2 friends. So one day, she brings me in, and we sit down on the couch, and she actually went through the gospel all the way. And I prayed to receive Christ at that moment. I was 12 years old. But was I sincere before that when I was going every week, seemed like, down to the altar and praying? Absolutely. I was begging God to save me. But I didn't understand. But she went through and allowed me to understand. So I stand on that day when I received Christ. Now, going through high school, I played football. I was about 150 pounds heavier than I am now. So I was 300 something pounds. Yes, I was made fun of. I felt inadequate. I didn't feel like I was good enough. I still didn't feel love at home, so to speak. I knew God loved me, but I could not understand or explain anything besides I didn't feel loved. But as time went on, I was also being by my grandfather, and my father was teaching me the business, which was my father was in the grocery business, candy and tobacco business, sold to grocery stores. So I learned that business from an early, early age. So when I turned 18, I basically took over where my father had prepared me, and I took his business to a bigger level, and we were being blessed. But as me and my wife decided we're going to find a church, we're going to stick with it, and we're going to do what we're supposed to do. Well, we joined Bellevue in 88, the year we got married. Started going there when it was still downtown. But I had a pride and an arrogance about me that I didn't realize at the time. So we have two daughters. Fast forward a little bit longer. We're involved in church. I started my own business. I bought two grocery stores, built two gas stations here in Shelby County. Was doing well. I went on two mission trips. I seen God work in a tremendous way. And it changed me. My father and grandfather did not accept what I was giving to the church and other ministries. And actually, this was one of them at the time. And I guess I was verbally chastised, if you want to call it. They didn't see why we needed to do it. So when I started my own company, I did. I knew I felt I was supposed to do it. The Lord told me to. But during this time, let's fast forward a little bit further to, 2004, when I started a wholesale company and took it to a level I had no dream that it would go to. I had bought two other companies between 04 and 06, and we were doing very, very well. I believe Chris was in Kenya on several occasions, and I'd always wanted to go, but I always had an excuse I couldn't get away. But we ended up with a warehouse in Oklahoma, a warehouse in Mississippi, and two in Memphis. And Chris said I was a pilot. Yeah, I had put myself through flight school at 18 and started, I guess I got my first little airplane at 20 and finished my training. But nevertheless, I used the airplane back and forth to Oklahoma, Mississippi. But something happened. I thought I was in God's will. I thought I was doing what I was supposed to do. But 2008, I decided, this is it. I'm going to sell all this and do what God wants me to do, I think, is help ministry, be a big part of a ministry. I didn't know which one, but I felt that that's what I wanted to do. I thought that's what God wanted me to do. So lo and behold, this company gets in contact with me, and I'm going to sell all my company, everything. And at 42 years old, I was going to finally do what I wanted to do, get out of the stress and the pressure. But I struggled with sin. I struggled with all of it. It was difficult. I wasn't happy. But 2008, we were supposed to sign a contract, do the deal, and lo and behold, it was not a real company, so to speak. It was our government. They said, we have you on tax evasion, which leads into one or two other criminal things. I said, I've done everything above board. I've done everything that I was supposed to. What I didn't know is the one of the companies that I had purchased a few months before that was being ran by our government. and falsifying the reports that were having to be done every month. So me being owner, even though I caught it and not knowing who she was that was doing the reports that worked for me, manager, I told them to stop and amend it, but it didn't matter. It was over and done with in their deal. And they said, we're not here to put you away. This is what you're going to do for us. So what they meant, and I can't get into a whole lot of it, but I went undercover basically for 3 years. And it was the most terrorizing 3 years of my entire life. I seen things and did things that you only read about and watch on the television. But it come to the end of it. They had promised that I would not go to jail. I would not serve time. But guess what? It came. And somehow somebody had talked to somebody else and wanted to make sure that I did a minimum sentence, so to speak. And supposedly the U.S. attorney didn't know nothing about it. So I was sentenced to a year and a day, which 80% of that figures out 10 months. And during this time, I had become medically ill severely. My adrenal glands, one had a tumor in it a few years prior to that, and had to have it removed, and the only one I had left stopped working. And so they had agreed to send me to a hospital in Kentucky. Well, it come down to the day before I was supposed to go to Kentucky, and they said, it's full. There's no room. You need to report to so-and-so county jail. I said, you have got to be kidding me. And I said, who's going to monitor my medicine? And, oh, they have somebody. Well, some of you may know, some of you may not. They have a nurse. And what did they do when I went in? They stopped all medication. And I just about died in the county jail. Ended up in the hospital when I finally went unconscious. The hospital didn't do a whole lot of good. So anyway, I pushed through that. But what I didn't know, when I had to report that day and the door slammed behind me, there's a whole new world. Life as I knew it stopped. And the anger and the bitterness that I had was, I couldn't describe it. I told my mother I didn't know if I would make it out. And I was angry at God. I was angry at everybody. I said, this is not what I signed up for. Y'all promised. But it didn't make a difference. So anyway, what I did not know is what plan God had for me. I said earlier that I had a plan. Well, it was my plan. It wasn't God's plan. So if I wanted in on God's plan, then I had to deal with the bitterness and the anger. And about 2 days in the county jail in solitary, I dealt with it. And so what I didn't know is how God wanted to use me where I was. And I was supposed to do 10 months in the camp. I never made it to the camp until 5 months later. In Forest City. But the county jail, I was with 8, 10, 15, depending on what day it was, the weekend, it seemed like a lot of people came in. I started having Bible study, and then there would be a few more, one or two more that would join. And a little while after that, there'd be several more. So it would be an everyday Bible study that we did. And little did I know what God was working on some hearts that was already there when I arrived. And so I had one boy that was, I say boy, I was 42. He was 21, 22. They were fixing to release him. But he came to me with such urgency and such conviction. And I was able to be used by the Lord to lead him to Christ. And seemed like during that time as well, there wasn't you go get a Bible off the shelf and have Bible study. You either had it with you or you didn't really. And so at that time, I had started calling my wife. I said, send me about 6 Bibles. So she mailed them to the county jail. They kept 1 and they returned the other 5 back to my house. And what I didn't say before all this, that we lost everything. The only thing we had left because of this was a house with a big mortgage. And it was a miracle that we were able to survive it. But all my dreams and hopes were gone. So back to the county jail, there was another young man there, and he had been dealing drugs, wanted to change his life, and he had started partaking in our Bible study, and I'll never forget his name. He went by John John, and I don't know why, but he called me Pops. We became very close during that time, and right before the first of the year, my 5 months in the county jail, he got out. He was married, and his wife had made contact with my wife on Facebook, and they were keeping up with each other and keeping up with John John, and lo and behold, I started receiving letters from him and about how his life had changed, and they were in another state looking for a job, and it was bad job market during that time. It was during all this financial crash years ago. And so anyway, they came back to the little town in Mississippi. I didn't know it at the time, but I would call my wife every night. And one night that I called her, she said, I got something to tell you, and it's going to be difficult. She said, John John's dead. I said, there ain't no way. I said, I just got a letter from him. She said he was shot and killed by somebody that said he still owed them money. And his wife was pregnant with their second child. And I felt ripped apart. But you know what? We got such a good God that he assured me John John was right there with him. And that what he did in a jail was real. And at that moment, I told you to think about love when I first started. At that point, I felt that love from our Lord that like I'd never felt before. And each of us here today struggles at some point or another. And I want you to remember, God loves you. And it's not temporary. All this we see is temporary. It's not going to last. One day we're either going to be with him or we're not going to see heaven. You have to give your life over to him. You have to trust in him and what Jesus did on the cross. And yes, I was saved at 12 years old. I was not discipled. Nobody taught me after that. But I learned more in 10 months because John John was just the first of several. And I seen how God used me in a bad situation I thought was the end of the world, but it wasn't. It was actually a new beginning. So I want to say that everyone here has an opportunity, and you find yourself in a difficult situation. There ain't but one answer. There is no other. There's only one person, and that's Jesus Christ. And what he did for each of us when he was on that cross, bleeding and dying, he was thinking about every one of you and me sitting here today. So each of you has an opportunity. Do you want to see heaven? Do you want to see God forever? Or do you want to be banished? Now, I live a simple life, I call it now. I grew up with so much ambition, probably I had 3 or 4 people's worth. But I'm content. My heart is content. I don't have to conquer the world because Jesus has already conquered it on the cross and the resurrection. So God loves you. He cares about each of you and what you do from this point forward. And I want to thank you for allowing me to share just a part of what God has done in my life. And I pray that God will bless each and every one of you. Some of you have family, some of you don't. I could keep going with some of you has PTSD from being a veteran and what you've witnessed, and some of you's got PTSD and trauma from what you grew up with. You're not alone. Each of us has something that they have to deal with. So just remember, there's only one answer. There's only one way, and that's through Christ.